Here First is sponsored by UCS Healthcare, proudly delivering healthcare services across Iowa, specializing in mental health, substance use disorder treatment, and medical care with a special focus on LGBTQIA+ healthcare. More at ucsonline.org.
Today is Thursday. It is the 28th of March. This is Here First from IPR News. I'm Michael Leland. Governor Kim Reynolds says a new law giving the state more oversight of the state's 9 area education agencies introduces more accountability into special education. Reynolds signed the measure into law in her office at the Capitol yesterday with GOP lawmakers and staffers on hand. The law puts the Iowa Department of Education in charge of making sure the AEAs meet state and federal standards for special education. Reynolds says it changes what the AEAs must show school districts about what they pay into and get out of the system.
The bill also creates a more accountable, transparent system so schools know upfront the cost of the services they purchase and the value they can expect to receive.
Part of the law takes effect as soon as July, including the first part of a 2-step raise in the minimum salary for teachers. When it's in full effect, the new minimum for teachers will reach $50,000. That's nearly 50% more than the current minimum. State Auditor Rob Sand says he's concerned about the amount of time the Iowa Attorney General's office is taking to review its pause on paying for rape victims' emergency contraceptive reimbursements. IPR's Natalie Krebs has more.
State Attorney General Brenna Byrd, a Republican, paused reimbursement for emergency contraception under the Crime Victims Compensation Program when she took office in January of last year. Her office says her policy, along with other crime victims programs, has been under review ever since and has declined so far to release its findings. State Auditor Rob Sand, a Democrat, expressed concern about the length of the review and Byrd's choice to use the word audit.
This is her decision on day one to quit paying for emergency contraception for sexual assault survivors. And the word salad around that decision and around what is going on is nothing more than a way to reduce the clarity of that fact.
In a statement, Byrd's office called Sand's concerns, quote, flat wrong, and said it is in the final stage of its audit.
The University of Iowa says it'll continue charging its graduate student workers fees. Grad students had requested the UI drop the fees for workers, and the grad union has called on people to boycott a fundraiser. Graduate student workers and undergrads pay mandatory fees that go toward a range of university costs, like new construction projects and athletic facilities. Hannah Zada is president of the UI Grad Student Union.
It's a minor cost to the university. It's not a minor cost to us. I mean, when you're being paid as little as graduate workers are, paying hundreds of dollars in fees every semester is a really huge financial burden.
The state restrictions on collective bargaining bar the union from bringing up fees as part of the contract negotiations with the Board of Regents. The One Day for Iowa fundraiser yesterday raised more than $2.5 million. The city of Waterloo is considering moving a Canadian National Rail yard to help make some of its lower-income neighborhoods safer and more equitable. IPR's Grant Leo Winter reports the line currently cuts through a predominantly black neighborhood.
The rail yard creates noise and air pollution, which has driven down property values for generations. The average home in the neighborhood is priced at about $60,000, which is less than half of the rest of the city's average. City Community Planning Director Noel Anderson says a $750,000 study to move the yard could be the first step in fixing the problem.
It's a matter of looking at the larger impact of the whole neighborhood and how, you know, eliminating some of these problems could help the larger area.
The rail yard has been in the neighborhood for nearly a century.
A huge fertilizer spill this month in southwest Iowa killed nearly all the fish in a 60-mile stretch of the Nishnabotna River. The Iowa Capital Dispatch says Iowa and Missouri conservation officials estimate 750,000 fish were killed. It is the biggest fish kill in Iowa in at least a decade and the fifth largest on record. Frogs, snakes, mussels, and earthworms were also killed. It's Here First from IPR News.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Governor Kim Reynolds made it a priority in the legislature this year to overhaul the state's area education agencies. The 9 AEAs support local school districts with things like teacher training and services for students with disabilities. Yesterday, Reynolds signed a bill into law that does some of what she wanted. IPR's Grant Gerlach has been following this issue and is here to tell us more about what the law will do. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Michael.
So how did this debate over the AEAs become an issue that took up so much attention this year?
Well, this really came from Governor Reynolds. Remember, it was the governor who proposed an overhaul in her condition of the state address. She painted this picture where the AEAs were overfunded and underperforming, which has gotten a lot of pushback. One reason it's taken up so much time this year is that lawmakers said they didn't know what the governor was proposing until it came out publicly. One senator made the gesture of dropping the original bill in the garbage. That led to months of meetings and debate and negotiations. There were multiple hearings where parents of students with disabilities talked about how vital the AEAs have been in their lives. But Reynolds kept pushing for a deal, and this week Republicans put through a final package that for sure is scaled back from what she first called for, but it does change how the AEAs are funded and managed. It also ties in other more popular measures, notably a big raise in the minimum salary for teachers. There were some trade-offs. The governor and the Senate wanted local school districts to control the state special ed funding that currently goes directly to the AEAs. That's what pays for things like speech therapy for school-age kids. The House wanted to keep that funding intact. So in this final bill, districts must use the AEAs for special education services as they do now. That was a big point in the House. But by the second year, only 90% of that state funding must go to the AEAs. The other 10% stays with the school district, and that 10% may still support special ed at the district level, but critics look at that 10% as a cut to the AEAs.
So what did Governor Reynolds have to say about what she was signing yesterday? Is she satisfied with where this law ends up?
She says it involved a lot of discussions and compromise, but she does believe it will lead to improvements in special education. I noticed that compared to some of the other major education bills she signed in recent years, this was a more low-key bill signing. It wasn't in the Capitol Rotunda. It was in her office. There were a few dozen people there, mostly lawmakers and staffers. Also, the Okoboji school superintendent, who's been a supporter of this. Reynolds didn't take questions from reporters, but she did prepare some remarks, and she said schools should know what they're paying for with the AEAs, and that's part of what this bill does.
Some schools haven't used some of the AEA services despite being forced to pay for them. Others have felt that they didn't receive the quality that they expect. And many schools, urban and rural, large and small, have raised concerns about the lack of transparency regarding the cost of AEA services.
There have been some superintendents who say they would like more funding flexibility. In particular, for media and education services, some said they could probably do it themselves for less. And this bill gives control to decide whether they use the AEA for those services or not. But other districts, especially smaller rural districts, are concerned because the system was really built around everyone pooling resources. So a small school may get back more than what they actually pay for. But if some districts back out, that might not be the case anymore.
And what's the timeline for this actually taking effect? What changes first?
Well, we'll see the state take oversight authority over the AEAs pretty quickly, starting in July. For those media and education services, the money is split next year before districts take full control the following year. We'll also see those teacher raises I mentioned start to take effect. Starting in July, the minimum salary for a teacher goes up to $47,500. It reaches $50,000 the year after that, and that's almost 50% higher than where it is today. You also have school workers who are paid by the hour, like paraeducators. They could see a raise too. And all along, Democrats said the only thing lawmakers should do is put together a task force to study how the AEAs are really doing. Well, there is a task force in this law that will report back to the legislature by the end of the year. So it's possible lawmakers could revisit this issue next session with new information.
Okay, a lot of twists and turns on this issue. IPR's Grant Gerlach, thanks for following this.
You're welcome.
That's Here First from IPR News. I'm Michael Leland. Have a great day.